You are listening to an audio recording from Family Life Church. It is our wish that you will receive hope from God's Word. Now, on to today's message.
Well, good morning, church family. It's great to be with you as we get into this final message of God's, my money, God's math. And this has been 5 weeks, and if you've missed any of the weeks, or if you want to go back and listen, it's to your advantage to go back and catch up, because there's a principle every week that God shared with us. And, you know, actually, I really think the Holy Spirit's trying to get something over to us this morning, because what he's impressed in my heart just so flowed with worship, and that is this. God is the creator of everything. He's so far above who we are. He's so holy. He's so powerful. And we're not doing him a favor by worshiping him. We're not doing God a favor by giving to his work. He's God. And today, the message to our last week here in My Money, God's Math is this, and I'm hoping that you've been taking notes. It's God invites us. God invites us. And so, you know, the reason that we went into this My Money, God's Math in this season is because we know that we're going for the most fruitful year ever at Family Life Church. We're believing that for our church. We're believing that for this organization, for everything that our hands touch, for everything that your hands touch because you're attached to Family Life Church. Most fruitful year ever. The most answers. The year of breakthrough. The year that you actually get to the things that have been in your heart for a long time. Fruit. 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 We're going after fruit, and we know it's impossible to get there if your money is messed up. It's impossible to get there, and one thing that we all have on our goals or on our vision sheets has to do with money, whether it's for us personally or for our family, for our future, for our businesses. There's money attached to things, and we saw that God knows that we need money. There are over 2,300 scriptures in the Word about money. He has such wisdom about money, right? And so the last few weeks, we've seen how God invites us into his process. We've seen that there's a world side. There's a world system for money. And there's a God system. And God invites us into his system, right? We saw in week one that there are so many promises in the Word about money and about increase and about getting to a better place. And we saw that God invites us to the man side. And when we engage in the man side of the promise, that opens up the God side. God invites us. He invites us to the man side so that we can get to the God side. We saw in week two that fear is the biggest reason that as believers that we don't step into the God system of finance. That fear is a liar. Fear will do nothing but limit you and keep you from what God has from you. There is nothing true that fear brings. Fear always lies. Fear tries to keep you back. Fear tries to make you fretful. He brings anxiety and stress and pressure. Fear is a liar. But we saw in week two that God invites us to trust him and to step past fear and to get into the God flow of money, right? We saw that God invites us to have faith in him and to trust him. We saw in week three, where it was all about the tithe, that God invites us to bring to him his 10%. Now, not so that we get it messed up. It's not our 10%. The Bible calls the tithe his. It says the tithe belongs to God. It's actually, he considers the top 10% any time money comes into our hand, he considers the top 10% holy and it belongs to him. So he invites us to take it from our house and bring it to his house. Why? So that the windows of heaven are opened. We've heard that. We've heard it over and over. And if you've been in church for a long time, you've heard it over and over. It's not a fairy tale. God is inviting us to the open windows of heaven in our life. He's inviting us to divine protection where he rebukes the enemy for our sake and the enemy can't destroy any fruit in our life. We saw last week when we went into the whole analogy of the seed and corn seed and what it does, that God invites us into his systems and his laws. He invites us. What a privilege that God invites us into his system so that we can go from a teaspoon measure to a cup measure to the bucket to the wheelbarrow to the truckload measure. And we can actually continue to increase in every way in our life when we step into God's invitation of his system of seed time and harvest. He invites us. He invites us. Can we agree that God's invitations are certainly awesome? So let me say it this way. God invites us. God invites us. He invites us to that reality that we can be part of who he is, that we can sit at his table. He invites us to his very table. The word says he prepares a table before us, even in the presence of our enemies. He invites us to sit at his table. He invites us to the windows of heaven opened in our life. He invites us to a divine protection like we've talked about. He invites us. He invites us. That should stir awe in us, church family. Awe. It should stir so much awe. A-W-E. Awe. That the God who creates planets for a living is mindful of you and me, and he invites us. So I wanted to start today by looking at the real invitation of what God is inviting us into. Sure, it's about our money and his math and how we get his multiplication on our money. That's part of the invitation. But there's a much bigger picture to his invitation that I want to open up to us today and let us see beyond the pure money piece of this. Sure, we've seen how God blesses us. He's a good father, and he is all in the business of blessing us. But there is a broader invitation that he's welcoming us into. So let's look at John chapter 4, verses 35 and 36. It says this, "But I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life." You know, the last few weeks as we've looked at money, we've looked at it from the perspective of how it affects us and how that when God invites us into his process, that there's blessing, there's protection, how we can convince ourselves that God is who he says he is and that he's going to be a good provider for us. But let's make no mistake about it. God, while he wants to bless us, he is after a harvest. He is inviting us to help him harvest what? People. He is after a harvest of people. God is in the business of rescuing people for eternity. That's God's business. That's God's agenda, and he is inviting us into it. There's an eternal side to this money system. Yes, it will affect your budget. It will affect your inflow. It will affect your outflow. It will affect how you get set up for your future. Yes, because God's a good father. And it also affects eternity. So church, we can't just be one-sided and us-sided about this. We have to see the bigger picture. Let's look at John 3:16. It says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is God's harvest. And most of us are familiar with John 3:16. Most of us could probably at least say it by memory, at least most of the scripture. But what does this mean? This means, let me break it down. Let's go back to the seed analogy that we talked about last week. God sent Jesus, his first and best, Pastor said it this morning. He sowed Jesus into the earth because he loved mankind. But because God is a businessman, God is a farmer, God expects something from that precious seed that he sowed into the earth. He expects a harvest of people. God is after a harvest of people, of rescuing people for eternity. And let's make no mistake about it. He is inviting you and he's inviting me into this process. It's the process that is bigger than ourselves, that is attached to the money that we give to the kingdom, and it's about the harvest of people, because that is what God is about. Yes, he wants you to live the good life, and he wants to rescue people, and because he's God, he can get it all done at the same time, and that's the invitation, right? That's the invitation. So today, I have only 2 points for you, and the first point is this, that we have to realize the magnitude of the invitation. So every time that we get a tap on our heart that we feel like we want to give toward the kingdom or give to someone, it's not just God trying to get something to us. Yes, he wants to get something to you. But there's a bigger picture at work. Every time that we feel prompted to give, that we feel stirred to give, that we see something in the word and we want to align our life to God's system of money, It's because there is a harvest of people that is at stake. The Bible says this in regards to God wanting us to partner with him. Let's look at Psalm chapter 8 so we can understand the magnitude of the invitation. Psalm chapter 8, verses 3 through 6. When I look at your heavens, God, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are even mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him. So this is saying God has made us a little lower than the heavenly beings. God has crowned us with glory and honor. He's given us dominion over the works of his hands, and he's put everything under our feet. The fact that God considers us in the scheme of everything he sees should stir awe in us. The fact that he even considers us, and the fact that he invites us to be a part of what he's doing, and he rewards us for doing it, it's amazing. It's amazing. It should really bring us to awe. Like, God, seriously, it's absolutely amazing that you see the scope of all of humanity. You see every person. You see the track they're on and where they're going. You see who's on their way to hell, and you want to rescue them. And in the midst of all of that, you see me. You see my checking account. You see what I have. And you are strategizing how to get me to partner with you to win the lost and to reward me for it. It's actually amazing. We have to consider the magnitude of the invitation of God. It should never be common. It should never be old. We should never dismiss it like it's not important. There's so much at stake. He's a good father. I want to look at this in Psalm chapter 50, verses 10 through 12. It says this. God says, all the animals in the forest are mine, and the cattle on thousands of hills. All the wild birds are mine, and all the living things in the fields. God says, if I were hungry, I wouldn't ask you for food, for the world and everything in it is mine. In other words, God's saying, if I need something, I'm not going to ask you. I already own everything. We're not doing God any favors here. When we worship him, we're not doing God a favor. It's his breath in our lungs. When we bring our tithe and our offering to him and we struggle with that internal struggle because we're human, we're not doing God a favor by upping the percentage that we give to him. He's pleased when we do it with a right heart. But we're not doing him a favor. If he's hungry, he's not asking us for food. He owns everything. We have to understand the magnitude of the invitation. He is inviting us into the process. It's not for God's benefit. It's for the benefit of humankind, including us, right? Including us. So point one is that in this whole thing about money, I want us to really realize the magnitude of the invitation that God gives us. The magnitude of the invitation. He's God, yet he invites us into his agenda. So point two is about God's agenda. Family Life Church, more than ever, let's give priority to God's agenda. Give priority to God's agenda in every part of our life. You know, when we bring our tithe and our offering to God's house, it's not just a check mark off the list. It's not a to-do. It's not something we're doing so, you know, God will look on us with favor. We're doing it because we believe in God's agenda, because God's heart is our heart, because what's important to him becomes important to us. What he wants to harvest, we go after. We're his people. He's our God. He's our daddy. And daddy, what's important to you becomes important to me, right? So we give priority to God's agenda. Let's look at 2 Peter verse 3. It says this, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his purpose. He is not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God's agenda is that not one person that walks on the face of this earth should perish. Not one. That's his agenda. That's his agenda. And I want to break it down into three kind of sections as we finish this point about God's agenda. The main thing, which is the first part, is God's agenda is rescuing people from hell. It's rescuing people from hell. When we accept the invitation to align our lives with God's principles, we're aligning our lives with the fact that we don't want people to go to hell. We're aligning our money and our lives to reach people, to literally make a difference in their life of them going to hell or to heaven. Wow, that's pretty heavy for a Sunday morning, Pastor Kathy. I know it is. But that's God's agenda. And we're just fooling ourselves if we come in here and just think, oh, we'll just be casual and God bless us. And we just live, you know, and just not consider the reality and the magnitude. That us aligning our money life with God's system literally will bring people from hell to heaven. It's God's agenda. That's what he's going after. You know, I think a lot of people, especially in our culture today, just think that hell is this place that people that don't choose Jesus will go to party forever. But the Bible has just a completely different picture, which is the true picture of hell. It said hell is a place of anguish, eternal fire, pain and misery forever, regret forever and ever. Remorse, regret, pain, suffering, where you can hear screaming and gnashing of teeth, but you can't see anything. The Bible explains it as a fire that's like burning sulfur. Have you ever smelled sulfur? It's disgusting. In every way, hell will be absolutely horrible. Yet it's a reality. And we have to wake up, the Bible says, and look up, because the harvest is ready. There are people all around us that are just waiting for someone to tell them the good news of Jesus Christ. And that is God's agenda. And the only reason that we can't go farther, faster, you guessed it, money, resources of people, of money, of time. That's the only reason that the church as a whole, not talking just about Family Life Church, but the church as a whole, the reason that the church on the earth as a whole can't go farther, faster, and reach more people. It's because of money, because of people's hearts not aligning with God's agenda, not aligning their money with his system. Yes, it's going to bless us. God says, make sure that you understand you're not going to be left out. He rewards us. However, that's not the point. That's the byproduct. The point is that we get to help God rescue people from hell and get them to heaven. It's not just a matter of your budget. It actually matters for eternity. You know, as I was preparing this week, God brought to my remembrance this story. And it's over 20 years ago. I think somewhere around 23 years ago this happened. Pastor Tom and I were newly married-ish, and we didn't have a lot of money, you know, and we didn't own a house, and, you know, we just, life was life as kind of newlyweds and whatever. And this church was actually on the other side of town. And this church for years supported some mission work in Guatemala. And so we were having, for a couple of days, a meeting with Sister Craft, this strong, sweet, would knock your socks off the power in her because she looks like a little granny. Forever she looked like a little granny, even probably when she was 50 or 40. She's just short, hair in a bun, white hair, sweet, soft-spoken, but winning people from hell in Guatemala. So she was coming to church, and she was doing a couple of days at Family Life Church. Then it was Restoration Tabernacle, and I was getting ready for the meeting, just going about my day, and God gave me an invitation. He said, I want you to make sure that you have an offering for tonight to give to Sister Craft. It was an invitation. And in that moment, I got kind of squirmy because I knew we didn't have a lot of money. And so I went to the checkbook, and it verified my squirminess. Yes, we didn't have anything that was really worth any kind of an offering. And so the reason why is because I had been doing my agenda. I'd gone shopping that week, and I'd bought clothes, which isn't bad, but I'd bought some clothes. And so here I'm looking at the checkbook, and I understand God's giving me an invitation. And in that moment, I thought, I don't want to be responsible for not doing what God's asking me to do. I didn't want to deny God's invitation. And not that I put it together like that then, but as I was reflecting on the story, I remembered this whole situation. And so what I did is I gathered the clothes I hadn't worn yet that had the tag still on them, and I took them back. And I got the money back, and you know, it's integrity. I hadn't worn them. Got the money back, and I was actually able to give an offering to Sister Craft. So what's the point of the story? Well, I want to kind of show us God's agenda versus our agenda. See, my agenda was going shopping. We all go shopping. I go shopping today. It's not bad. We need clothes. We go shopping. But is there any chance that 20-something years later, I would have one article of those clothes in my closet still? Let me help you. No. Not a chance that I would have one of those things that I bought that day that would mean anything to me today. God's agenda. Is there a chance? Is it possible? And I think it's probable because the Holy Spirit brought this to my attention this week. I think it's probable that that offering that I gave that day over 20 years ago made a difference and actually rescued someone from hell, and that they either are in heaven or going to heaven. And not only was it that person, but 23 years is a long time. It was about 23 years ago. 23 years is a long time. It's very probable that not just one person is going to heaven, but maybe an entire family. And the way that things work in Guatemala is, wow, when they find out about Jesus and Jesus sets them free, they are free and they tell their village. So it is possible that an entire village, hello, could be going to heaven. Why? Because I took back some clothes that I wouldn't even remember. I do remember what some of them look like because of the story. But they wouldn't mean a thing to me today. God's agenda. Now, I could have looked at my checkbook in that moment, which I'm sure that we've done a time or two, and said, God, not this time. I'm sorry, there's nothing. And God's invitation would have had to go to someone else. But God says he's busy about getting his agenda done on the earth, and he wants to invite you and me to participate in doing that. Amen. So God's agenda is about people. So the second piece of the agenda that God has, the first piece is rescuing people from hell. The second people is this. God's agenda is very much his house and his people. Now today in our culture, people are making really light of God's house. Like it doesn't even matter. Like you can do something else. Like you can come if you want or not if you want. It's not that important. Make no mistake. The word is full of God's love and for God's house. God's house, this place we're sitting, it's not the only house that he dwells in, but this house is unlike any other place. When you walk in the door of this house, there's peace. There is fresh air here. This is where God's people come together and declare, there is no one like our God. God is in the business of his house, of making his house a place that everyone can come to the table, that all can be forgiven, that all can be welcomed back to him. His house is important to him. So when we bring our tithe and our offering to his house, and we put skin in the game, and we put money in his house, we're not left out. That is so important to God, his house and his people. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Now, these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come into such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. God's people, his people in his house. God's agenda is also the equipping of his people. And if you've been a part of Family Life Church for any time at all, you know this is the heart of who we are. We are about equipping God's people. Equipping God's people. You know, I think equipping us to celebrate the goodness of God, but to know how to use what God has placed in us for the bigger purpose. How we partner with all of his people to get his work done. That's God's agenda. And you know, I think when it's about God's house and God's people, we have to realize that this house, right, like this house, when it comes to the number of people that Family Life Church impacts and all the things that we do in the community and everything and in the world, because we're we give to missions. Of all the things that we do, most people raise their hands and say yes to Jesus right here in this house. This house is important to God. And you know, I think one of the greatest things about this house is this house has the ability to transform the next generation. This is where your kids and your grandkids and the students of our region find their significance. It's where they find their significance. And we've lived long enough that we all know that we will chase after significance and we'll find it somewhere. And the enemy has a very long list of alternatives that he can hold in front of us to show us where we can find significance. And they always end up in us being broken. But this house is a place where students can find their significance. They can be empowered. They know they're loved. They have a family of people around them saying, go this way. Yeah? God's agenda, his house and his people, they're precious to God. So when God moves on us to partner with the initiatives, Heart for the House and special offerings, whatever it is, sending the Quest kids to Alaska and, you know, going after child evangelism, Big Sunday, which happens in a couple of weeks, it's his agenda. It's not just these cute little things that we try and come up with to fill the calendar. It's God's agenda. And God wants to reach this region with us, Family Life Church. We are the ones that carry out his agenda. Who are we, God, that you invite us into this process? It's amazing. So rescuing people from hell, taking care of his house and his people. And the third thing, and this is the final thing about God's agenda, is helping the weak, the poor, the orphan, the widow. God is in the business of bringing good news to the poor, to the orphan, and to the widow. Psalm 68 and 5 says this, a father of the fatherless and a defender of the widow is God and his holy habitation. In fact, there's also very strong language that shows us in the word that every time that we give to the weak and to those who are in a bad place, that there's strong language about how God feels about it. It's found in Proverbs 19. This is the Message translation. It says, when we show mercy to the needy, it is alone to God. And God pays back those loans in full. God is in the God's agenda. He's in the business of caring for the poor, for the weak, for those without fathers, for the widows. That's his agenda. And every time that we partner with him, he invites us to it. So when God moves on our heart to participate in Royal Family Kids, to give to missions, to give to someone when you're standing in the grocery store line and they're counting out quarters because they don't have enough, when God moves on our heart to do those things, it's not just a subject of our budget. It's God's agenda. And he's extending an invitation to you and me to be part of the process. It's a privilege. So John chapter 4 again says this, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest, and the harvesters are paid good wages. Let me pause right there. So even though that Jesus, these are Jesus' words talking to his disciples, even though he's telling them what the whole mission is, he said the fields are ripe, he still attaches a reward to it. And the harvesters are paid good wages. Well, who are the harvesters? It's you and me. Every time that we partner with God and we bring our tithe to God, when we bring it from our house to his house, we're harvesting with him. Every time that we separate that additional percentage from the 90% and bring it to God's house or give it to someone, when the Holy Spirit leads us and we're giving offerings and helping people, we're partnering with him. He's inviting us to partner with him. As we close out this series, now I just have one more scripture that I want to share with you today. And it's found in Psalm chapter 50, verse 14. And it says this, make thankfulness your sacrifice to God and keep the vows you made to the Most High. Thankfulness and faithfulness. Thankfulness and faithfulness. Thankfulness and faithfulness. You know, it's not going to do God much good if we get stirred up for 5 weeks and say, yes, God, I want to partner with you, but then we drop off in week seven because the harvest is still out there. But thankfulness and faithfulness, when we have the perspective right, God, thank you. Who am I that you, as you scan all of humanity, that you are mindful of me, that you know where I am on the map, and you're strategically trying to move me into position to partner with you. And you say, God, that it's because the harvest is ripe and you want to save people, but it's not just to get people to heaven. That's the main agenda, but it's also to bring blessing into my life. God, who are we that you extend to us this amazing invitation? Thankfulness and faithfulness. It is a privilege to receive any and every invitation from God. What a privilege to receive an invitation from God. Let's stir up all church family, right? Let's be thankful. Let's be faithful in it. Let's keep our vows. You know, if you have allowed the word entrance, and I believe you have, I believe you've allowed the word entrance this week or these past few weeks. And I actually want to say thank you because, you know, when we talk about certain things in church, people always tell pastors, well, got to be careful. Can't talk about money too much because people will get uncomfortable and then they might leave. But Family Life Church, I just want to thank you that you have opened up your heart and your mind for the word. And I believe that it doesn't matter what subject we talk about, we're ready to receive the word. And I know because we're ready to receive the word, this is what has happened these last 5 weeks for us. That God is transforming us into a new person financially by changing the way we think about money. That's Romans chapter 12. So thank you. And as you've received the word and embraced the word, and God has moved on your heart to move in certain areas, you know, this is the truth. As we've gone through these last 5 weeks, God has moved on my heart and Pastor Tom's heart to do things that we wouldn't normally have done because we've seen the word. We've been expanded. Actually, God has moved on our heart to give the biggest gift we've ever given. Now, I don't say that so you go, oh, wow. I say that to let you know, I know God's moving on your heart because he's moving on our heart. And what we have to do is to be thankful and faithful. And so whatever God has moved on your heart to do, if he's moved on your heart to attach to tithing and you've not been a tither, be thankful and faithful and keep your vow to God. If he's moved on your heart to increase your percentage so that you can trust him and you can try out his system of going from the spoon measure to the cup measure to the bucket to the wheelbarrow to the truck full, and you're like, God, I'm going to test you in this. If he's moving in your heart, if he's nudging you to try it out, try it out. Be faithful. Be thankful. God's trying to get something to you. Amen. So last night as I was praying before I went to bed, I felt like I needed to do something before that we extend an invitation for Jesus and for salvation. If you own a business, whether it's a side business or a business where you have employees, I want you to stand up just right where you are because I feel like I need to pray for you this morning. Awesome. Pastor Tom, you're not standing. So last night as I was praying for you, there are a few things that I felt like that God wanted to share with us this morning as business owners. That we can be a major player in what God wants to do in his harvest field in Marion, Ohio. As business owners, you've kind of set yourself up so that your channels aren't as limited as if you just had a set salary or a set paycheck. And God wants you, if he's moved on your heart in any area, in any of the things that we've talked about, he wants you to take him at his word and he wants you to step out. And this is why. Because the harvest fields are ripe. They are ready. And we have a unique position as business owners to have an unlimited channel sometimes for God to move. So I want to speak over you that a couple of things. And I also want to pray for your businesses and pray that God would so less your business so that you can win people to Jesus, right? That you give greater eternal significance to what your business means. And your businesses, I know some of your businesses, you're supplying the needs of people and helping people and making things work. But there's a greater purpose. Amen. So why don't you pray with me? Father, I thank you for every business owner that you have attached to Family Life Church. God, I thank you for the creativity, for the faith, for the ingenuity, for the faithfulness, for the wisdom, for the intelligence. And Father, even the risk factor that you've placed on the inside of them. Father, I thank you that you are not mocked. And whatever that we sow, we reap. So, Father, I pray for every single one of these business owners standing, God, that the eyes of their heart would be enlightened to who you are, that the eyes of their heart would be open to who you've called them to be in the business sector. God, whatever part of business that they hold a piece in, God, that you would take their business, that you would expand it, that you would multiply it. God, that you would do something so amazing, God, that they would say, I don't even have words for how good God has been to me. Father, I thank you that as you move on all of our hearts with invitations, God, to help the poor, to help the orphans, to help the widows, to help the house, to help your people, and to rescue people from hell, God, that we will see them as invitations and will, Father, be faithful to our vow to you, God. Enlarge our hearts, God. Enlarge the territories. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. You can have a seat. And this morning, you may be in here and you may say, you know what? I'm not really even connected to God and I don't have a relationship with God. Well, let me just share some good news with you. You are God's agenda. You're God's agenda this morning. Actually, if you're here and you don't have a solid relationship with Jesus Christ, he's been watching you all morning, rubbing his hands together, saying, yes, 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 they're my agenda today. They're my agenda today. Now, the Bible says that we read in Peter that God doesn't want anybody to perish and go to hell, and that he sent Jesus for you. So in this moment, what we do is we always pray together. We don't want anybody to go into this moment alone, but we're going to give you an invitation. It's actually God's invitation. The Bible says he stands at the door and he knocks. He knocks on the door of our heart, and he's just saying, man, let me in. Let me have your life. Let me help you. He's just waiting for that. So let's all go ahead and close our eyes and bow our heads. And if you're in here today and you're saying, I want to connect to Jesus and I want to pray a prayer and ask Christ into my life, if you'll just raise your hand very quickly, we're going to pray with you today. Anyone in here, thank you so much. You're God's agenda today and he sees that. Anybody else today before that we, thank you. Thank you. Awesome. Well, church family, let's all go ahead and stand. Let's everybody stand together. And what we do is we all pray together. So I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And if you pray this after me and believe it from your heart, then this is going to be a reality in your life. You're actually going to transition from going to hell to going to heaven today. And the blood of Jesus will erase your sin and he'll come into your life. So let's pray, all right? Say, Father, I believe in Jesus. I believe in John 3:16. That you loved me so much, that you sent Jesus, that he died on the cross for my sin, so that I wouldn't have to live in hell, but I could live in heaven forever with you. And Father, I thank you that you're not condemning me, but you're rescuing me in this moment, that every sin that I ever committed is completely forgiven right now. That my heart is clean. That I have a fresh start. Thank you for it, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't we give a huge cheer? God's agenda.